So today we continue on talking about karawa, respect, the blessing or the auspiciousness, the omen, the sign of good things to come, which is called respect. Respect is a sign of good things to come. It shows that a person is sincere in what they're doing. And we've talked about respect for the Buddha, respect for the Buddhist teaching, respect for the people who have practiced the Buddhist teaching. And on, we have three more objects of respect. The next one is the respect for the training. Respect for the training is respect for those things which we have to study and we have to train ourselves in. And we have to train ourselves with a respectful and a reverential attitude, with a sincere attitude, with our whole heart. When we train, we try to train our minds. We should be careful to train our minds with a sincere, sincerely and wholeheartedly. The Lord Buddha gave a simile, a comparison with a man who was instructed to carry a pot full of oil, full to the brim. It means completely full of oil, so that not one drop of oil could fit in the bowl. He was instructed to carry the bowl of oil through a crowd, through a parade, through a carnival, and through the city in a time when there was a carnival and there was dancing and singing and music and festivities and all sorts of displays, beautiful women, beautiful sounds and dancing and this and that, and shows and displays, and acrobats and so many things, and elephants. And he was instructed to carry this bowl of full of oil through the city, and they said they would have another man follow behind him with a sword. And if the man holding the oil were to spill even a drop, the man walking behind him was ordered to cut his head off with the sword. And the Lord Buddha asked, if that were the case, do you think the man would waste any time looking at the shows or looking at the beautiful women or looking at the acrobats and the elephants and the many various sights and sounds and smells and so on? Would he waste any time doing so? And of course the monk said no. No, he wouldn't do so. His mind would be fully intent upon the bowl of oil for fear of his life. And Lord Buddha instructed the monks that they should treat the training in this way. They should have such sincere dedication to the training. And always remember the simile of the man with the pot of oil. The things which are necessary to train in the Buddha's teaching, there's not many. In fact, there's three things which the Lord Buddha taught that we have to train in, and these are the base of the Buddhist practice. They are the the training which comes from the practice of mindfulness. When we practice the four foundations of mindfulness, we are training ourselves in three things. One, we're training ourselves in morality, to avoid all evil deeds of body, speech, and even bad deeds of mind. Number two, training ourselves in concentration, to cut off those hindrances in the mind which lead us to do bad deeds. And three, wisdom, to develop the understanding which will cut off all bad deeds so they will never arise again. Cut off all ignorance which leads to the arising of greed, of anger, which leads to the arising of the hindrances, which in turn lead to the arising of bad deeds of body, of speech, and of mind. And developing morality, we develop at the time when we're practicing. First we have mundane morality, is keeping the precepts. Keeping the precepts is not synonymous with the training of morality which the Lord Buddha taught. Keeping the precepts is simply a means of encouraging one to develop true morality. Whether we have 5 precepts or 8 precepts or 10 precepts or 227 precepts, these are things which lead to peace and happiness in the world. They can be considered essential for leading a good life, for living a proper life in the world. They are essential for undertaking the practice. But they in themselves don't lead to freedom from suffering. Until we develop morality on a practical level, we can keep the precepts for our whole life and still never reach freedom from suffering. Morality on a practical level means that when we practice, we stop our minds from wandering, stop our minds from becoming distracted by lustful or greedy thoughts. Stop our minds from being distracted by angry or hateful thoughts. And stop our minds from falling into delusion, doubt or confusion or wonder or worry, restlessness. Stop our minds from becoming distracted by these thoughts. It means when we think these thoughts, we acknowledge them and with a word, angry, or liking, wanting, distracted, doubting, worrying. Then bring our minds back to the present moment, back to the object at hand. When we bring our minds back to the present moment, this is morality on a practical level, forbidding the mind from indulging in these thoughts or that thought. Using mindfulness to stop the mind from wandering. This is the practice of morality, and this is the morality which leads to nibbana. Because when we practice this morality, it leads to concentration. Concentration is of two kinds as well: mundane concentration and concentration which leads to freedom from suffering. Mundane concentration, we have concentration which fixes on a conceptual object. And the Lord Buddha taught up to 40 conceptual objects. The focusing on a white disc, a blue disc, a red disc, focusing on a bowl of earth, focusing on a bowl of water, focusing on a flame, focusing on many things which are concepts which we take up. We take up the concept of white, the concept of red, the concept of blue, of yellow, of fire, of earth, of air, of water, and so on. We take up the Buddha, we take up the Dhamma, the Sangha, altogether 40. They recognize 40 subjects which the Lord Buddha taught. Which all have a concept as their object. But because the object of these, of contemplation here is a concept, the contemplation can't lead to freedom from suffering. One cannot see about the object that it is impermanent, that it is suffering, that it is non-self. Because as a concept it can be permanent, it can be happy, it can be self. We can control it, we can keep it forever, and so on. Because it's only a concept, it's not real. The concentration which leads us out of suffering is concentration which focuses on reality, focuses on the body, focuses on the mind. And we have the four foundations of mindfulness. These are one description of reality. Mindfulness of the body, the feelings, the mind, and the Dhamma. The Dhammas, but Dhammas in this case are the Paramatta Dhammas. Those Dhammas which are real. And when we focus on these, acknowledging rising, falling, and our mind is focused on the rising and on the falling, or focused on the feelings of pain or aching or so on. Focused on the mind, focused on mind object, on the Dhammas. In the time of the Buddha, there was one man who became a monk simply to learn the magical powers of the Buddha, that the Lord Buddha was supposed to have. And then he was going to disrobe. He wanted to steal the fame of the Lord Buddha and bring it back to his own religious teachers once he had learned the magic. In the time of the Buddha, there were many people who did this, trying to steal away the fame and the renown of the Lord Buddha by gaining the same magical powers which the Lord Buddha was supposed to have. And once he ordained, he heard about there were some arahants in the area, some enlightened ones, so he thought, then I'll go ask them for the magical powers and the attainments which they have. And so he went to ask them, do you have this magical power or that magical power? Can you see far away or hear far away? Do you have this attainment or that attainment? And they kept saying, no. All sorts of special attainments, they had none. And he said, well then, how can you claim to be free from suffering? And, the group of them, they explained to him. He said, we are free through wisdom. The Lord Buddha's teaching, there are two ways to become free. There are freedom through concentration and freedom through wisdom. Some people practice samatha, they practice tranquilizing the mind first and then they develop wisdom on impermanent suffering and non-self. And some people just practice to see impermanent suffering and non-self. And this man said, I don't understand that meaning. I don't understand the meaning of that. And they said, whether you understand the meaning or not, we're free through wisdom. It means the concentration which they gained was not enough to gain magical powers or high spiritual attainments, but it was enough for them to give up greed, to give up anger, to give up delusion, which is the true goal of the Buddha's teaching. Whether one gains magical powers or high spiritual attainment of peace and calm, which would lead to being reborn in the Brahma realms. Whether one gains these things or not, the goal of the Buddha's teaching, the concentration which we need is momentary concentration. It means that every moment we have to be focused on the present moment. This is the training in concentration and the training in wisdom. The training in wisdom is, of course, the wisdom is of two kinds. There's mundane wisdom and wisdom which leads to freedom from suffering. Mundane wisdom is the wisdom we use in the world to make money, to keep our livelihood going. And for monks and nuns, it's the wisdom which allows us to live our lives and to teach other people and so on, to help other people, the wisdom to study and to keep the precepts and so on. For lay people, it means the wisdom to live their lives properly in the world without making mistakes in their work or in their duties, knowing their duties to their father and mother, their children, their duties to their friends and their teachers, and their duties to their employees, and so on. Knowing what are good things, what are bad things, knowing to stay away from bad friends, knowing how to find good, what is a good friend, and so on. This is all wisdom in the world, things which lead to peace and happiness. And the Lord Buddha also taught this kind of wisdom. Make no mistake that mundane morality, mundane concentration, mundane wisdom, these are things which the Lord Buddha taught over and over again. And they are very important if we are going to develop the path which leads out of suffering. But they are never enough to lead us out of suffering. We simply have to be able to tell the difference and develop both mundane morality, concentration, and wisdom, and supermundane morality, concentration, and wisdom. Supermundane wisdom, or the wisdom which leads out of suffering, is a very simple wisdom. One past teacher in Thailand said it was like frog wisdom, the wisdom of a frog. Meaning that it's not some high intellectual wisdom. It's not the wisdom which you gain from going to university or studying or even memorizing the whole of the Buddha's teaching. It's the wisdom which comes when you sit and acknowledge rising and falling. Even knowing the belly rising and knowing the belly falling. One time, the Lord Buddha said knowing rising one time is of incredible benefit. Is a far more beneficial wisdom than memorizing the whole of the Tipitaka. When you know one time rising and one time falling. Knowing the rising, knowing the falling, this is a far better wisdom. It's the wisdom of the present moment. It's a taste of the present moment. Even just one time allows one to see what is the present moment. So we should never be discouraged when we think we're not mindful all the time. Even being mindful one time rising, one time falling. Knowing the rising, knowing the falling. This is wisdom. It's the very base of the soil of understanding. This is what, because when we acknowledge rising and falling, when we know the rising, know the falling, afterwards we'll come to know impermanence, suffering, and non-self. We'll come to find the way out of suffering. We'll come to see how can we be free from our attachments, free from our addictions, free from our cravings. How can we come to be truly content? You see, oh, when we see impermanence, we won't hold on to things as permanent. When we see suffering, we won't hold on to things as pleasurable. When we see non-self, we won't hold on to things as self. We won't hold on to anything in the world. Na ca kinci loke upadhyati. We won't attach to anything in the world, not one thing. Na kinci. Nothing in the world. Na kinci loke upadhyati, we attach. We won't attach to anything in the world. We'll attach to nothing. This is the way out of suffering. And then we'll come to see the highest wisdom, which is the freedom from suffering. The realization of freedom from suffering. This is the highest because it frees one from attachment to the world. It allows one to see the true happiness and true peace. So one never is confused mistakenly trying to find happiness in the world. One will never try to find happiness in the world again. One will be able to let go of all things at all times because one knows true peace and true happiness. This is respect for the training. Again, going very slowly through this blessing, showing respect for the Buddha's teaching on respect. You can see how important it is.